Yeah, so to sort of speak to like space accessibility, which was the original question, I guess, I think like I'm focusing on two approaches. One is to take advantage of existing space infrastructure, so like existing satellite constellation like Inmarsat, and then have SATCOM ground terminals, like ones from Orbcom, to distribute to users to be able to connect with that, and then have a Web3 experience. Like I'm focusing a lot on Meta Oracles, which are like an Oracle aggregation system where users can have data, like SATCOM data rewards for operating nodes. So that's taking advantage of existing stuff, and then focusing on new space missions where you can launch new payloads that you invent and spacecraft buses that get deployed on rideshare missions in Earth orbit and lunar orbit is like what we're doing. So yeah, obviously there's like a lot of national security concerns about owning and operating that sort of stuff, and KYC is important on people who have access to what we're doing. Like one of the things is a screens in space where you can have pixelated claiming of what's on the screen, and then there's like a YouTube stream of cameras capturing that, as well as cameras looking down at the Earth from Earth orbit, so that you can have VR access to being like an astronaut on a spacewalk for a sort of like collective consciousness upgrade type ideas of the overview effect for everybody and things like that. So I think there's a lot of decentralized experiences and Web3 connected ways people can interact with existing space infrastructure, as well as create new, you know, more people creating more missions, like SpaceX and other launch service providers are creating lots of opportunities for smaller companies and new startups. You can launch a CubeSat or something that, you know, only costs millions of dollars instead of hundreds of millions of dollars to pull it off. So,
yeah, I love Sam, by the way. I've known him for a few years, and he's one of the earliest people who, in conversations I had, and I've been working on Copernic Space for 6 years almost now, where he always blows me away with. And listen, he just illustrated, like, to the regulatory thing, there's countless assets in space already that are launching to be provided to the retail market that don't fit into these huge questions and hurdles. And another big thing about this space that people need to understand, it's decentralization. All these cases and for ownership and experiences that Sam just defined, and it's also extremely low when it comes to regulatory element, right? It's perfectly made for integrations of this technology, not just in very specific, you know, kind of hardware-based manners. You know, you can see what Space Chain is doing with putting nodes up in space to actually create a physical, let's say, financial infrastructure there, but, you know, bring it into the more digital realm. So once again, space assets are a thing that can come to the market soon, very soon, and you can have ownership in and economically participate in the space market. The regulatory requirements is going to build around
it. Crypto still has a long way to go in terms of like properly formulating relationships with regulators, maybe bribing one or two, donating to a campaign here and there, starting a super PAC of like, because we're not represented in government very effectively right now.
I'm Matty Moe. If you Google the most famous artist, you find me next to Picasso, Warhol, and a whole bunch of silly other famous artists. And I'm running a company which is helping bring like real utility to NFTs via brand partnerships with digital communities.
Hey everybody, my name is Kitty Like a Cat. I run NFT Girl Gang, so hello to all my Girl Gang baddies out there. I'm a designer. I've been a designer for 7 years for Disney, Facebook, and Sephora, and I created a blockchain solutions company about a year ago. Noticed that there's not enough women in the space, and selfishly wanted more girls to hang out with, along with bringing them up into the space, educating and empowering, and so that's where NFT Girl Gang came from.
Hey y'all, my name is Mark Patterson. We're on a mission to tokenize every single physical asset in the world, mainly for circular economy, making these things accessible and useful for applications, services, reinventing the way we interact with physical stuff. So, serial entrepreneur, been in the space for about 4 years, was a former pro gamer, played Halo back like 10 years ago. But yeah, it's great to be here. great to be with these amazing panelists. You know, we've reinvented money, and money wants to find new ways to create community, create connection, create meaning for people. People can best identify with this new relationship that we can have with money.
Noah's Ark DAO, where we save all the animal profile pictures.
I love it.
Just throwing that out there.
Yes. I would add on to this too. Anybody getting into NFTs, a big thing we say is DYOR. So do your own research. Look into these projects. So these NFT collections are similar to how companies work, and your NFT is now stock. Bored Apes, you get to the yacht party. Alien Friends, they created that whole project to make friends. I bought in, I'm down to make friends. Like, they keep adding more utility to these projects, so that's what's keeping the price up and giving people reason to hold on to the NFTs and decrease the supply so that cost will go up. And so with these NFTs, you get into the Discord and it's all of a sudden all these crazy people that decided to buy this NFT too, and now you're all friends and you can meet up and meet with people that are all interested in the same thing around the world. It's awesome.
Thank you, thank you. Greetings and welcome. People talking about the future today, but we are looking to talk about the future of humanity in space with this panel. So these are our panel members, and some of our discussion is going to go into the accessibility of space. What a great time to be alive right now when the richest people on our planet are trying to get off it, and we get to reap the benefits of it. Hopefully they will let us all on their vehicles to explore space, and not because we have to, because we want to. So some of the stuff we were going to talk about is like, what will we do with all of the existing assets that are in space? Are they garbage? Or do we reclaim them? Can we reutilize them? Do they have interoperable parts that we can take advantage of and utilize without international incident?
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the space economy, how you could take Bitcoin to the moon, which is unbelievable, and what that looks like in preserving those digital assets and being part of it. And that means both private and public sectors are looking for basically you, the community, to help build the space economy and be part of that.
For the first time, give access to the retail market to have actual ownership in real assets that are in space, or investment access to all these great entrepreneurs. And tokenization of the space economy and providing it on a nice user interface like a marketplace to enable you to do that is going to be really the catalyst, the fuel, and the engine for all this new economy that's going to be built, and you guys will be able to have ownership in it. I know you love the example of assets that are out there and they're kind of useless.
They're already in space.
Right, and they're not being, let's say, utilized to their full potential or whatever. Is, you know, like fractionalization of those assets, giving you guys the capability to, you know, buy a portion of that and incentivize entities to then use that in a new manner that generates revenue or provides value that you can then benefit off of as a token holder or a fractionalized owner of that satellite, so to say. That's actually gonna be how this economy is gonna work.
But unfortunately, when you wanna access space, there's no way to get around government, you just can't. And national security is a thing. So what happens when you have a NASA-supported program and now somebody in North Korea has the rights to that asset? And these are the things that we're gonna have to figure out, but right now, that's where we're at. Like, we have this technology we can dream with and
I could solve that KYC sanctions question in a technical, right now. I can tell you how that's done in a platform. You KYC every single user, and then you tie their ownership in the platform to their wallet. It's a Web3 platform. Each NFT that represents a space asset is programmed that you cannot trade it to any wallet that is not whitelisted within this platform. And that's how you control secondary market trades of NFTs to sanctioned entities.
Very good, very good.
In imaginary world, okay?
I didn't hear what is an imaginary.
So reality is such, and a month ago, things changed much, much, much dramatically to where your national security is much bigger risk right now. For those of you who do not know, Russia launched hypersonic missile at one of their assets. satellite assets last month. So at this point, Russia is number one in superiority of weapons. That is the reality. What that means for access to space, much, much tighter rules. And so while it would be amazing to live in a world where all the access and all of your KYCs will work for access to space, that's just not going to be the reality.
Well, just so you know, on our platform, Chinese nationals, for example, can buy an asset hosted by a U.S. space company. You know, so like all these things are going to happen, and nothing's foolproof. Before I built Copernic Space, I built CoinFirm, which is a leading regulatory tech AML provider in the crypto space. I'm telling you, it's always a game. They're always chasing.
These are different games. Your financial product game is completely different game than what is happening in space and when national security is at stake.
I understand.
Okay,
that.
Those are two different things. You want to live in a world where you can sleep at night, okay?
I never said I'm doing everything at once, by the way, did I? Trust me.
Just eat an elephant, one bite at a time, right?
Don't click on any links, ever. Shut down your Discord DMs unless absolutely necessary. Never connect your wallet to a random smart contract. I mean, this is all pretty, it seems obvious, but like, their understanding how malicious actors work will help save you from getting hacked. Oh, also, hardware wallets. That's a good one.
Yay, hardware wallets.
Like Microsoft's doing a lot of really cool stuff with decentralized identities.
Okay.
I'm being dead honest. You want to see my wallet?
Access to digital communities that are actually interesting. Access tokens into incredible conversations. And those are the types of entities that are actually interesting to me at this point. Like, I could give a fuck about which animal I've got in my wallet. Yeah, I think everything should be Creative Commons on the internet.
Putting the first woman on the moon, which is really exciting. Is there a plan to do this as early as 2025? It was supposed to be 2024, but it was pushed back. But which is really exciting, not only to empower women to go into technology, and also the possibility, yes, we are returning back to the moon. So what that means is creating infrastructure where blockchain can help accelerate a lot of that technology, from anything from creating a logistics issue, tokenizations, or you know, even safety. You know, everything that happens in space has to take in consideration. You're talking about smart contracts, you know, between multiple organizations and how affected that could be yet. It's really exciting when we are starting to hear having these conversations to have the first woman to be on the moon. That has never has happened. So to increase diversity, you know, we want to see more innovation to help facilitate all that.
When we came out with CoinFirm in 2015-16 and we said, hey, we're going AML analytics for crypto, people would, what are you talking about? Crypto's about money laundering on one side, and then the other side says, well, we're never gonna have AML. And they were both wrong, right? There's this middle ground that's gonna work, and it's gonna be fascinating seeing how people like
saying illegal. You keep comparing crypto to space. I mean, these are two different industries. This is not go build and we'll regulate it later. It's just not. And I think that it's for, I mean, what is the benefits for people? There's no benefit, and that's not the truth. That's not how it works.
You know, in regard to the comment on nationalism in space, do you think the future of space has room for nationalistic values? You know, I mean, it's space, you know, and shouldn't we break away from all of the problems that we are creating and dealing with here?
Well,
on this planet,
you're
know?
Right. So
once
we
again,
should
this
break
is a blanket.
You know,
this is a blanket approach. It's like, no, there's no cases where this doesn't apply. Like, I'm sorry, there are cases where national security.
There's just
apply.
A reality, okay? It is because of this new space race. It is because of the reality of space war now is here, and it is the public information that Russia did what they did and China did what they did.
Piggyback on that, I think that's amazing. And I think why we're talking about that here is so we can develop the next form of exchange in space. You know, why should, I feel that in space, we're gonna come up with a new metric and it's gonna for exchange, and it's gonna be actual minutes in space, the time in space. Like you have 40 minutes, this experiment takes 40 minutes, you can facilitate that experiment. And that is the exchange. The time is gonna be the real asset. Just like our lives, time is the real asset. Time is the value that we have. It's just, we have a monetary exchange for other people's time. And I think, you know, if we are gonna create the next level of human, we should be looking at when we expand, what foundational values are we gonna take on the expansion? And I don't think it's gonna be based off of I came from this country or I came from this. It defeats the purpose of why we're trying to access space. You know, we are all unified on the pale blue dot, like Sagan said, you know? So we wanna put the best minds, the most advanced thinking, the most out-of-the-box thinking together to establish the foundation of how we're gonna build this space-faring economy, you know?
My question to everybody is, would you like to help finance that? Would you like to have a financial investment in that, yes? Okay, then this is what I'm talking about. Whether we wanna argue about, you know, national security threats, this or that, these companies, all these entrepreneurs, et cetera, there's not enough capital and liquidity in the market for them the way the market is set right now. You have X amount of space VCs who actually, interestingly enough, these funds are quite small for the most part. Then you have the nation states who usually give some of these projects their early first step through a government grant. But through my experience about being around crypto for about 8 years, being around the ICO space, you can look what happened with GameStop last year, where, you know, the public just said, hey, we're gonna do this, and they'll eat a big hedge fund in a day, right? And space is one of the most ubiquitously passionate love things in mankind's history. You know, you met someone, you're like, hey, you like space? They're like, no, I hate that, man. I hate space. So our thing at what we're doing, whether it's ownership of assets or it's providing and opening an avenue for the retail market and its liquidity to have ownership through an investment sense into these space ventures projects. You can even do it for a satellite itself. There are some regulatory hurdles, but those are mainly securities hurdles. Let the people raise it. Let them give me 100 mil. I'm gonna tokenize all of that, give them 20% of the revenue share in the future of that satellite.
So to speak to like the time use case, I think that's really important, which is why I created XI Protocol, which is a utility for time being displayed on a satellite advertising screen, as well as which doesn't have any light pollution, is inside the CubeSat, as well as rewards for time reporting with SATCOM data. So I think that is a really important thing, and that decentralizing time access in space is like an important utility. So that's kind of like why we did that. So I'm a fan of that. You brought that up. But
when you told me that the first time, I couldn't wrap my head around it too much. So I'm glad you guys connected on it.
Yeah, definitely. That's my frame of mind. You know, I mean, time is the ultimate currency. And especially when we look at, you know, there's like 74 countries that have space programs, like 14 of them or so have sent people to space. You know, what about the other ones? What about the other 60? You know, the opportunity to facilitate a space program for a country. You know, we could go to them with an out of the box for $1 billion. We will let you stand on the shoulders of everything the current space programs have developed thus far. And you can launch your 5 national heroes to space. They can facilitate some, you know, experimentation for how an adhesive catalyzes in a future manufacturing process for low gravity.
Can I bring a use case for that? So what he's talking about is, you know, will soon be accessible to you guys. It's just all a matter of how much capital really you have. They want to put an IoT device on it. We want to get fashion brands on it. And then you have an NFT that represents your ownership of that space, a unique asset that you can fractionalize and resell on the market. So imagine buying like a piece of a Gucci scarf that's literally on the moon as an NFT, and then have a secondary. That's the space asset market, that's space ownership.
So
if you land, if your asset lands on the part of the moon that I own, can like you?
These are these legal battles that are going to be figured out. I mean, period.
But here's the thing too, right? Okay, so we're talking, you know, national security, all this stuff. Who's responsible when it goes up in space? Are the people holding the NFTs responsible? Is the company that... These are all things that have to be sorted out.
The company that's doing it, it's not a hard question. The company signed sales agreements. I mean,
I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say? Sorry.
We'll do it off stage. We'll go into the deeper off stage.
Okay.
you would have this utility of satellite time or whatever. And so if my satellite blows up, that's like my liability. And so like, you know, everyone would come sue me or whatever.
Right, but if you're buying an NFT that guarantees you rights, right? So like, I think the way the verbiage, the way the contract, I think all of that is super important because you have to know what you're liable for.
You just got to put it in a digital format.
So NASA's putting up a hotel in 2024. I believe the new ISS is going to hold like 100 people in it. And there's
one starship?
Yeah, countries or several companies that are actually working to colonize the moon right now. So yeah, and countries. So our kids, this is going to be their reality. They're going to be able to live on another planet in their lifetime.
This is why, because China does not participate. It's a space war. Wake up, people. We are in a space war right now, and it's accelerating more and more and more. By the end of this year, you're going to be talking about it. You will be talking about it, just like you're talking about other topics right now that are dividing the country and the world. War is going to be on the minds and the mouths of all Americans, and it better be sooner. That's why we're going to moon. That's why what's happening is happening right now.
Luckily, we have a space force.
Space war shadow attacks. You will see what's happening right now.
There's like a lot of mutually assured destruction type demonstrations of things, but I don't think there's actually like space wars going on presently in that sense, actively,
there is. In
an adversarial sense from one to the other. And if like
shadow attacks consistently are deployed almost on a daily basis. Billions of dollars worth of revenue loss for us. All of the sudden, your Netflix is not going to work, and you know only crucial infrastructure is going to work. It's all out there. It's all Bill described. People are just not paying attention to it.
Yeah, I just notice how the U.S. need not demonstrate its supremacy. The other people are trying to like, look, I can do hypersonic stuff. It's like, yeah,
right.
Do that. Oh, fucking, they're just catching up.
One benefit of being, you know, a kind of dictatorial communist party centralized government is if you make a decision, that goes.
I come from Soviet Union. I lived there.
And I live in Warsaw, Poland, and my people died under communism for decades.
And that's not where you want to be.
What's the point? What's the
point? That, all the tragedy and all the struggle have got us to this point in the ability to innovate like we have now. So what we have to ask ourselves is how do we change the mentality when we get there? How do we get rid of the hoarding mentality of humans like, this is my water, now you need it, you have to go through us. You know, and instead of, how do we break that mentality? This is we're at the cusp to be able to build that right now. And it's these free ideals that are gonna help establish, I mean, it's like throwing stuff at a wall. Something is gonna stick, hopefully, you know, and we will be able to have an impression on the next level of humanity, you know?
Recognizing that there's only one Earth and we're all living in it. As it is right now, there's no humanity backup. So therefore, we have to protect what we have. Because there's really no boundaries between one country and another. Through this technology innovation, we can actually improve situations like climate change, sea level rise, and even health and agriculture. Everybody here must understand that Earth, meaning the most likely will die on this blue planet if we don't all get along, as we are all one human race. The NFT, by the way, 100% of the proceeds went to St. Jude's, the nonprofit. It's like, why are we here? What's our purpose?
Last thing I promise I'm going to say to that, this is what we mean by ownership of space assets, at least for us, that it's a much wider thing that has a benefit to each one of you on Earth, not just financially or economically or all this hype stuff, but like literally on the ground application. So I love the passion you guys have in the panel. I've been in crypto conferences for 8 years. It's by far the most passionate one I've seen. So congrats to you guys.
Yes. And thank everybody, and I love the overview effect. That's like, you know, the more that we can provide and help people process that effect, the better that we can catalyze the change on Earth so we can become
that's what your company does, right? Your company takes people to...
We facilitate access to space.
Yes.
Yes. But thank everybody, we appreciate your time, and
I look forward
to seeing you around.
Thank you to our panel! Awesome. That was fun. I think that woke us up nicely, too. All right. Our time is coming soon. We are going. Are we feeling it, Miami? Let me hear some energy! We are going. I want to wake you guys up a bit.
Our time is coming soon. We are going.